What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik Yen.
Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell are you?
Very well, oh Terry. Very well, and how are you?
I too am well, oh.
Okay, well, great to hear it, huh?
Yeah.
Great.
So,
Terry, look, I'm drinking tea.
Tea at this hour of the night.
Yeah, and two sugars too.
You'll be up all night.
Please. I have tea far later than this.
Really?
Yeah.
It's crazy talk.
And I sleep like a baby.
It kind of
my eye twitches the next day, but... Listen, how the bloody hell are you?
I've been good, yeah, good, you know.
Elaborate on that.
A lovely weekend. So, got up to some nice things. Went out to Dunleary.
Oh.
Because I can go anywhere I want in this bitch. That is Dublin.
Dublin.
Yeah. Anywhere I want.
Very so, nice.
Went over and met some friends in the People's Park in Dunleary. Oh, most of that nice. Running group that you're in. We all met up and had a big laugh at your expense.
Oh, you did you?
Well, I wasn't
invited. Well, they never told me anything about a get-together. Sure, I haven't posted in a couple of days, but come on.
I've never been so insulted in all my life.
You've been doing some good times, if I may say, Terry. Yeah. Sub 5 minute per km.
Yeah, but I'm dead after it. Like I think my hamstring is really tight today. And like on Saturday, I think Bonnie was asleep when I went out for my run. And when I got back, I was like, I'll hold off on going for a shower. Even though I was dripping with sweat because I didn't want to wake her. These naps are precious, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just was like, I just had to sit at the kitchen table and I just felt like I was going to collapse. Like,
but be honest, right? If this group didn't exist where people posted their times, would you have pushed yourself to go that fast?
No way. No way, hose.
It's a good motivator, though,
isn't
it?
It's a very good motivator.
I have to say. Because because if you're just by yourself, you've always got that like, who'll know?
That's the thing. You know I went out last night, like, and I was like, I better do something. And then, like, as I was starting, I was like, I knew to myself I'd started slow. And I was like, oh, I'm normally, say I was on track 3 by the time I got to this bend. And I was track 3 had already started. I was like, oh, okay, I'm behind. But then you kind of get to thinking, you're like, fuck it, no, come on, like, the lads. Yeah. You're going to post
the
regardless.
Lads.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you want it to be a good time. And seeing that for something is a satisfying feeling.
God. Yeah.
I
don't know if it's accurate. I'll tell you now. I don't know if it's accurate.
Do you keep the same cadence per km?
No.
Like would your first K be considerably faster than your, say, fourth K?
No, it's weird that like I was telling you about the importance of a playlist for me.
Oh yeah,
like,
so very much.
First song is always "All These Things That I've Done" by The Killers.
That's a good one to start off.
It's my
with,
pace track, yeah, you know, it gets me up. You know,
my problem with your playlist is there's not enough songs on it. You've only got like 8 songs on it.
I've
or
got
something.
11, my friend.
I need
30,
at least 40.
Means,
I gotta mix
minutes.
It up.
No. No,
like 40 bangers, but 40.
You're never gonna get 40. It dilutes.
20 bangers and 20 sub bangers. All right, but
I don't want any sub bangers. I told you my tactic is, it's a song that makes me feel good.
Okay.
It's a song that like when I'm like, oh, I'm wrecked, and then it's like Curtis Mayfield.
Oh no, you don't. Dun, dun,
exactly. Like dun, 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 dun. You're like, okay.
I'm hoping to try and tie in some runs with this dog of mine.
Ooh.
Because collies have, it turns out, an endless supply of energy.
Go on.
So, and like, I'd like to actually go. How do I? And I'm actually like, oh, he wants to know more. Go on. What is it?
It's your old favorite. It's your old roommate, Coke Ding. Zero.
You mixing that with anything?
Nope.
Oh, nice.
I did have a drink
straight
on Friday.
Straight mixer?
I did have a drink on Friday, I have to say. And it was nice. Watched a bit of Reeling in the Years with the new ones with Faye.
Any good?
Yeah, very good, because they're all about the 2010s and 2011s and stuff. So you realise what a shithole we were living in back then. Well, just like the whole IMF thing and all, like, you know, it was like the government, we needed to be bailed out and stuff. Brian Cowan was Taoiseach. It was bad. Like, it was not good time. Like,
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, like, this guy, Brian Cowan, is like, oh, God. Like,
yeah, forgot all about
what
him.
What a fucking laughing stock we were out of a country. I mean, it's only 10 years later, but, like.
Yeah. Jesus. I always think of that, like, 2010, say, was 11 years ago.
You know doesn't seem like that, though, does it? Like?
No. And I do it all the time. I'm like, that's the same difference as 1979 to 1990. And look how different that looks. And that's the same. Like, I'm always comparing it with other previous decades.
Like, 2011 was the first year we did any podcasting. Think about that. Yeah, because it was like the London riots and stuff. Like
As I recall, you were going to Australia. Mm. I think we started knowing that you were going to Australia.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think you were gone in like 9 weeks, and we did a podcast every week up until you left. It was something like that.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, because we were like, "Fuck it, like we'll just get a run of these going and see what happens." Like, but I still remember being in an office job, my first office job in Australia, and I was temping, and I knew I wasn't going to get kept on because it was just, you know, a three month thing or whatever. And winding down the day, they're like, oh, we don't really have any work for you, like, so you can just kind of, you know, sit about, see out your contract. And I would go, like, I'd put on our old podcast.
Yeah.
And I'd be in the office, listening to it on my headphones, pretending to work, and, like, trying not to burst out laughing at some of the stuff we were going on about. Like.
I'd love to hear them back. I mean, I'm sure they're terrible.
No, they sound, like,
the sound quality would be terrible. Just the quality is unlistenable.
Mm.
I must try and dig some out, though.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Nothing much now. I've just been going on a lot of walks with the dog, going to work.
Nice, good for the brain.
It's very good. The dog is good for getting me out.
But a good walk is a nice thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's a lovely area. It's all like it's like a pure mile like around the duck pond where there's swans and geese and ducks all over the place. And the geese hate him. Every time a dog passes, they hate him. And now there's chicks, and every time we pass them, they're like, like with their necks mad low, like flapping their wings. But that's, to be honest, I haven't been doing a whole lot. I tell you what I've been watching, though, Terry.
Hit me.
Only one thing, really, and it was only last night. As you know, I've been going through Family Guy. Mm-hmm. The series. I'd never seen that Simpsons crossover episode before.
Ooh.
Now,
yeah.
I will admit.
Is it a Family Guy episode?
It's a two-parter.
But is one of them the Simpsons episode, or is one of them a Family Guy episode?
No, like, it's definitely Family Guy.
Okay.
They're in.
The Simpsons had a special guest, right?
Well, not really. Like, they're the guests in Springfield, but it's kind of Family Guy humor. Like, it was a bit weird.
Oh, I don't like it at all.
But I have to say, I kind of liked it. I was just like, yeah, why not? Now, that's how much I've changed since these Marvel podcasts. Because there's no way I would have given this.
Look, maybe I'd have to watch it again. I just remember thinking it was, like, just tonally too weird.
It was weird because it's like Bart's making a prank call to Mo, and Stewie loves it, and like it's a real like PG
that
joke.
Was the only thing I liked about it, actually, that Stewie loved
does
Bart,
oh, let me do
like,
it
yeah
but then Stewie does it, he's like, Mo, your sister's getting raped or something like really shocking, and just to see Bart's reaction to that is just that's weird that he's even reacting to that joke. But it was, you know, I quite enjoyed it now, I have to say. I don't know if
what season is that, like,
I think 13, start of season 13.
Wow. Well, what are they up to? 16?
I think so. I mean, I've been watching it, like, I'm not laughing a whole lot, but I'm just enjoying
it, you know? Yeah. It's there.
But listen, more importantly, yeah, go on.
No, I do appreciate that they have a load of animation on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and to be honest, and like the last thing on that one was, I'm just glad that they tried it, you know what I mean? I'm glad that they got the official animators, voice actors for both. combine two shows that are probably both on their way down at that point.
I will tell you that, like, I actually prefer the unauthorized versions that South Park did of The Simpsons and Family Guy. Like, I
would agree.
Both, like, that episode, that Family Guy episode and South Park,
I think
is brilliant. Like, you be the captain, and I'll be your team.
South Park is such high quality. I know we talk about it a lot. It's just, I don't know any other animation that's maintained that quality for so many years.
They did dip, but like, yeah, they still...
By their standards, like, a shit South Park is still, you know...
Yeah.
It's like we talk about The Simpsons in their prime. Like, it's still better than most things on TV. Yes. You know?
Now, Andy.
Yes?
I want to talk about the Oscars.
Oh, yes. I've been meaning to get your take on it.
Now, did you see what happened?
I know nothing other than Anthony Hopkins wanted to give his acceptance speech.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But, like, the whole thing with it was that it was like Steven Soderbergh. Do you know Steven Soderbergh?
I've heard the name.
He's director of the Oceans movies.
Okay.
He's a very, very good director.
Okay.
But he had kind of said if he ever got to do anything with the Oscars, he'd want to make it more like the Oscars in the 70s, where it used to be a dinner and it wasn't live telecast. You know, it was you would get the video afterwards or whatever.
Yeah, I was thinking it was very...
It was low-key.
Very low-key.
It was a smaller theatre because they knew they weren't going to have as many people with COVID and stuff.
Yeah.
So, and they didn't have music playing anybody off when they were giving the speeches, which let the speeches ramble on a little bit longer.
Okay.
They were just saying it was a bit of an odd Oscars ceremony.
I heard on the radio some very pretentious speeches, and I don't know who they were from. It was like, whatever, the next day, I didn't know what they were accepting or what, but everything I heard, I was like, oh, who's that? Who's that? Shut up.
Okay, I need more information to...
I wish I had some. But what were your big sort of shocks? What were you happy about? What were you not happy about?
Well, like... Nomadland won Best Picture, which I'm looking forward to see. That's coming to Disney Plus Friday? Friday the 3rd? Nomadland. Yeah.
Okay.
It's about Frances McDormand from Fargo. You know her?
Yep.
Yep. So, something like she gets laid off or something, or loses her home, and travels around America, stopping off in... trailer park sites. These people that live in caravans, you know, in these little communities, and they use a bunch of real people instead of actors from these communities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, she won Best Actress. That won Best Picture, and the director won Best Director. Second woman ever to win Best
Triple Crown
Director, and first woman of color. Her name is Chloe Zhao, and she is doing the next Marvel movie after Black Widow that's coming out, called The Eternals. So I'll be interested to see that.
What's that about? Who are they?
They're like gods or something.
What? They can't do that. Yeah, they can't bring in that now.
Yeah, man. The Baron Door has been kicked open. All this mad stuff is going to be coming out.
Truly. Was the first female director Oscar winner The Hurt Locker?
Yes, sir. Catherine Bigelow herself. Yep.
Also known as that, yes.
But so the big thing was that they changed around the format of Best Picture normally goes last.
Yeah.
And they did that third to last.
Mm.
And then they did Best Actress, and then they did Best Actor, because they seem to be building up to Chadwick Boseman winning the Oscar posthumously, because he was up for Best Actor and he had won.
What was it for?
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. It's on Netflix. It's good. It's adapted from a stage play. He's brilliant in it.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Sure.
Between me and you.
And everybody listening. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good movie.
Was it worth it, or was it one of those...
It's like 90 minutes, Andy. Like, so it was
no,
worth
but
it.
I mean, where the Oscars sort of was it?
No, his performance alone, like his performance,
it was worth winning.
Well, yeah, it was definitely worth being nominated.
Okay.
I knew you knew he was going to be nominated because it was that good. Like, and he'd won a bunch of other awards on the way up. So it seemed like they were like, kind of, okay, well, this is what we think is going to happen. And we're going to get this big cathartic moment that he wins.
Yeah. Brilliant.
But they also made a huge error in normally the, say, best, the person presenting best actress is last year's best actor.
Right.
And the person presenting best actor is last year's best actress. Right. Well, they swapped that around, and it was the best actress from last year presented this year's best actress, and then the best actor from last year presented this year's best actor. Now, I don't know if you remember who won best actor last year.
I do not.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Okay.
So this guy that closing the show, like, just, he was just like, was mumbling his lines, looked like he didn't want to be there.
Oh, shocker.
Yeah. and then it was like, and the winner is Sir Anthony Hopkins for The Father. It's like, the Academy would like to accept this award on behalf of Sir Anthony Hopkins. And it was like, okay, that's our show, everybody. Good night. And everybody was like, what the fuck?
Sorry?
They were like, what is this? It was there. Everybody's going on about how it was such a bizarre ending to, like...
Oh, really?
Apparently,
it was their fault, because he wanted to do it by Zoom and they wouldn't let him. He didn't want to go fly there.
I think he said he wanted to record something and put it in just in case, because like it would have been like 4 o'clock in the morning. Zoom for him. He's in Wales.
So of course he's asleep, like.
Yeah, but like they wouldn't let him record anything because they were trying. They originally said if you can't make it, you're not doing anything. And then it was like some people were like, well, I can't travel to the US, you know, I don't live here. And then they kind of backed down. But I don't know why. Like, he released the thing the day after, strolling around the countryside in Wales being like, thank you very much, and like, I'd like to pay tribute to Chadwick Boseman, great man.
He's great. He's insane. Anthony Hopkins.
I love his Twitter. Did you ever see his Twitter?
Oh, yeah. He's great.
It's brilliant.
Him and Sam Neill, both just mental Twitter accounts. Yeah.
They were saying it was second only to the weirdest ending, only to, I think it was 2017 with La La Land and Moonlight. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was the best. That was the best thing that's ever happened to the Oscars.
Well, speaking of La La Land.
Oh, what?
We watched it on Friday. Let me tell you. Still bloody great.
Ah, is it though, Terry?
Ah, yes, Andy, it is. It is.
I'm sorry.
One of these days.
I'm still too cynical for that one. One of these days.
But it's great. Great movie. And it was lovely Friday evening watch. A few drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know. A few, you know, tears. What? Not from me.
That makes a change.
No, it does. It does actually make a change.
But to be honest, it was like, I didn't think I'd like the sort of wholesome aspects of WandaVision like I did. So who knows?
Well, like, I was like nicely high watching it, and I was like, like, the direction is so good and the colors are so vibrant. I was like, oh yeah, man.
Nice.
This is great. Like, all these like people doing mad dance moves and stuff, you're like, okay.
Just pleasing on the eye.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah.
Excellent.
But I watched something that was a bit more your speed on Saturday.
Yes.
A movie called Possessor.
Oh.
You heard of it? Kind of. It's by Brandon Cronenberg. You might remember David Cronenberg.
No.
Ah, you know.
Who?
You know David Cronenberg? He's like a real, like, how would I say it? Gore. I think he did, like, Existence was one of the movies he did.
Okay.
That mightn't be him. I don't know. His movies are fucked up, essentially.
Okay.
Yeah. Give him a quick Google there. And
David Cronenberg.
Yeah. See if nothing... I think he might have done The Fly. I can't be 100% on that either.
David Cronenberg filmography. Let's see here. He did do The Fly.
That's a gore fest if there ever was one.
Existence.
Do you remember Existence?
No.
Ah, it's a good movie.
History of Violence. I don't know. I've never seen
History
any of these.
Violence. Yeah, History of Violence is fucking deadly, man. You've seen History of Violence, haven't you?
I've seen The Fly, and that's the only one.
Anyway,
of his movies.
It's his son that did it, and it's a movie about, like, it's in the near future. There's this technology that allows like me to go into your body, and then I do stuff in your body. So it's like, but the whole thing is, it takes a toll on you when you're doing it. So there's this woman that this is her job. She goes into these people.
Now, is she physically going into them, or is
so it's like she's in a mask, right? And the mask is they abduct the person, drug them, and then they kind of put them into their body while they're down. Okay. And then when they wake up, like say me, when you wake up,
yeah,
I'm you.
Okay. And you know? Do I know that you're me?
No, the whole thing is that like I'm walking around as you. Right. The reason they picked you is they want me to kill your dad.
Right. Say. Okay.
Okay. And then what happens is I kill your dad and then I kill myself and then I wake up back in my body.
Okay, the perfect crime.
Yeah, but it's kind of then what happens when that starts to break down, you know, when it becomes unstable.
Interesting.
I love the premise, but I did dig the movie. Not a stinker. I was just like, ugh, okay. Like, there was only... They did one at the start, and I was like, okay, deadly. This is fucking deadly. And then the whole next part was just, it's one job. I was hoping for more than one job, you know what I mean?
Right.
They drew out this job over, say, 90 minutes.
Right, instead of giving you a few and then...
Yeah, and it just wasn't as exciting as I thought. As the start of the movie, I was like, whoa, cool.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of building up to it, and it just wasn't very as exciting.
Hard. It's very hard to get a good horror movie. Still.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean, I don't even. I mean, it does. Midsommar, it does sound like a horror.
And Hereditary would have been Hereditary, the best too. Like.
Hereditary was probably, I'd say it's probably the best horror I've ever seen.
Really,
I would say that for the amount of times throughout the movie where I'm like, "What the fuck? What the fuck?"
Yeah, that, like, you know, and I
never
moments.
React like that in horrors, and I'm like, "Oh Jesus!"
That whole thing with the pole.
Yeah. And just, I love that I never sort of went, stuff.
I never knew where it was going. That was the thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You never knew where it was going. And there was a scene where, I think it was a dream or something like that, but where she, I don't know why I love scenes like that, where she's screaming at the kid and then all of a sudden she's dripping in fucking gasoline or whatever it is. And then I'm like, why is she soaking wet now? What's happening? You know, I love that mess with your head stuff. Midsommar was pretty much all mess with your head. It wasn't necessarily scary. It was just more unsettling. Unnerving.
Like, wasn't it? Like, yeah,
unnerving, that's it. Yeah.
So Possessor, like, I bought it on Blu-ray, a blind buy. I bought it for like £7 or something.
You blind
like
buying on me?
Yeah, man, I'm a blind buyer. you know I've been blind buying, man.
Andy, you know this.
But yeah, I was a bit disappointed.
So you wouldn't
I felt like I wasted my choice on Saturday night. Had the place fairly gone to bed. It was 9 o'clock. I was like, okay.
Can I ask you a question, actually, Terry? Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. Do you find that now that your time in the evening is more limited, are you more sympathetic to the college try 15 minutes?
Oh,
let's
no.
see if it's worth no. spending our precious evening on this.
I could have turned that off, and then I was like, you know what? You made your bed, now you got to lie.
You have such loyalty to movies.
It's to me. I have principles, Andy. Now, there was one I wanted to watch instead, and it's on Netflix. I'm going to try it this weekend, hopefully. It's called She Dies Tomorrow.
Ooh.
It's supposed to be very good.
I like the title.
Yeah, it's supposed to be very good.
I want to know more by the title.
Yes, exactly. You know? And I'll tell you, Andy, the other one on Netflix that I said to you should watch, because I think you'd get a real kick out of it, is The Art of Self-Defense.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
on Netflix.
I don't know why. I've seen something on it and I didn't like it or something.
It's like, I think you dig it because it's all about like sensei. There's a lot of like, oh, right. like they work. It's like a dojo at a strip mall. And he's like, you call me sensei. He's like, what music do you listen to? He's like, you know, light jazz. He's like, no, wrong. You listen to heavy metal from now on. If you want to be a weapon, like all this, like karate, you know.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I think you'd really like it, Andy. Honestly.
Okay. Okay.
It's very
okay.
funny. Like,
I did check out that prank movie.
Hey! Bad Trip.
Yeah. You know what? You know what it was?
It was funny is what it was.
Parts of it were funny. I watched it for longer than I would normally watch.
You didn't finish it?
No, no.
Where'd you get?
About maybe half an hour in.
Ah, Andy. It's only 90 minutes, like.
I couldn't really do, I can't really do the prank movies anymore. Like, but I say that. You know what it was? It was the actual pranks, like the public's reaction to stuff was actually funny.
Yeah,
but it was, but it was everything in between. I'm putting up with the movie to get to another bit of the movie, and I was putting up with too much. And I was like, no.
Like what that whole thing when they burst into like a musical number in the mall, yeah. I was fucking pissing myself.
Oh yeah.
And all these people come in like doing these kicks and all, yeah. Like people sitting there drinking their sodas, like what the fuck.
I wouldn't say it was bad, but it just wasn't, I wasn't into it. So
good.
Yeah,
I honestly think it's probably the funniest film I've seen all year.
Oh,
like chest pains, I told you, too laughing too much, like. One last thing I want to, before we get, you know what I watched a bit of last night? It was on Sky One, maybe. It was a movie. Remember that movie Limitless?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this isn't a particularly good movie. But you know what it is? It's the type of movie that you just enjoy watching an okay movie.
Yeah. You know? It's still enjoyable. It doesn't have to be like, you know.
Exactly. Like, it's not bad, but it's not great. And it's just something about watching a movie that's like run of the mill, never gonna like let you down.
Like, I was like, give you a solid 7 out of 10.
It's like,
every time.
I remember that bit. I like that bit. And then it's like, okay, get to the next bit. Oh yeah, okay. But like, I was sitting there. I wasn't like, this is amazing. But I also wasn't like, fuck this. Like, I was like,
catch you.
I was like, oh okay, it's 10:30 now. Like.
You accept it for what it is, movies like that.
If it had been 9:30 and it was where I was at, I would have watched the whole thing.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to go to bed. But
I think I've only seen it the one time.
It's decent. You know? Yeah. Like Bradley Cooper's obviously very good.
I'm a big fan of movies with that kind of premise of like...
What if?
Yeah.
The what if premise goes
one pill,
a long way.
Like blah, blah, blah. Like that hooks me into so many movies. Like those shit, 15 people in a torture chamber. You know that stupid The Circle, whatever it was called.
Are you going to see the new Saw?
Probably not.
It's got Chris Rock, Sam Jackson. It's called Spiral from the Book of Saw.
Maybe with Sam Jackson, but I tell you, I was watching a bit of Paranormal Activity the other day. Part 1.
Still haven't seen it.
Have you not?
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, Terry, the first one.
That's why I was urging you to pick them for the Patreon.
You pick them on your own time, pal. But the first one,
absolutely not. I'll never pick them.
Okay, I'll find a way to wrangle it in. It was unbelievable. Like, well,
pay somebody to request them.
But it was damn good anyway.
Yeah, they talk about the first one being unbelievably well
so
made.
Original,
like, just with the like the I was it the like the little flick of the duvet and stuff like
the
that.
The duvet,
like,
the effects, the little shadow on the door, but there's no one coming in, getting pulled out the door.
See, like, that kind of shit would, thank you,
because it looks so real. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, because it's footage, isn't it? Like, you know,
yeah, it's very good. Terry, can I talk to you a bit about The Simpsons, if you don't mind?
Please.
More specifically, the 4th episode of the 8th season, Burns, Baby Burns.
Great title.
Absolutely. Guest starring Rodney Dangerfield, of course, as we know from our personal friend
and confidant,
Bill Oakley,
colleague,
says, told us personally that this is the only character that they wrote a script around the actor for. And it aired on November 17th, 1996, directed by Jim Reardon, and one of the first to be written by Ian Maxtone Graham.
Really?
Who had also formerly written on Saturday Night Live. He wrote the episode, and it was his first writing credit, although he had served as a consultant on the show for several months. He previously worked with Oakley and Weinstein on a game show, and the two had wanted to hire him as a writer on The Simpsons.
That's cool.
Yeah. Max Stone Graham had wanted this episode to be about Burns having a child, which is where it went. Another episode idea became Raging Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson. Interesting. Rodney Dangerfield guest stars. Again, it was written specifically for Dangerfield, which we know personally because our friend Bill Oakley told us, which were much tougher to write than the staff had originally thought, which I was thinking actually because he kind of really does take over.
Like, it's the Larry Burns episode. Like, yeah. You know, that's
it's
the through
line.
It's
a special, like, it's a different kind of episode altogether.
Yeah. I thought that when I was watching it, all right. I was like, huh.
Yeah. I forgot how much of him was in it.
It's all, you know what it is, almost like, it's like a feature-length 22 short stories.
Yeah. You know, and like, it felt like, we'll get into it, but like it felt like much longer than 22 minutes to me when I was watching it. To me, it felt like, I was like, Jesus, this is a long episode. It's the exact same amount of time. But I was enjoying it, but it just felt, I don't know.
Save it, bub.
I'll save it. Dangerfield made a few key changes to his script during the recording. Weinstein kept the annotated script and pen and considers them among his three most prized Simpsons possessions.
Oh,
that's nice.
That's nice.
Designing Larry Burns was a challenge because the director had wanted him to look like Dangerfield but still have Burns' characteristics. And I had made that exact note when we were watching it, that it's great how they were able to make him look like Rodney Dangerfield and also a Burns.
The nose. It's the nose. Yeah. It's that Burns nose. Like,
the last thing I will say is that it had a Nielsen rating of 7.7, equivalent to approximately 7.5 million viewing households, and was the fourth highest rated show on Fox that week, if you can care to tell me the other three.
X-Files?
That's right.
Number one. Is that number one?
Yes.
I'm going to go 90210 and Melrose as well.
Correct, Terry. Very good.
They're back. Yeah. They probably were on, you know, whatever, in between seasons at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, they're back with a vengeance.
And they're back. Back claiming the top spot. The last thing I'll say is our brethren who don't know who we are, the authors of the book I Can't Believe It's a Bigger and Better Update than Official Simpsons Guide said it was a fun episode with Dangerfield putting in lots of pathos into Larry, and Homer's impassioned speech atop the cinema at the climax is one of his funniest moments. I feel like that's generous, to be honest, lads.
I like the speech, but yeah, I don't think it's one of his funniest moments.
I don't know if you noticed, I've been putting in a few put it in H entries on our last few episodes on Wikipedia. So if anyone's checking it out, like,
put an H
fiendish move. It's so clever. Those other egghead podcasts would have never thought of it. Anyway, should we get into the episode proper?
Give me your first note here.
Okay, hold on. I'm not prepared. I've opened the wrong app, and the phone is so shy. It's going to take me hours to get out of it.
Grand, no problem. Keep it rolling. Keep tape rolling.
Yes, okay, I have it. My first note is how big of a fan I was of the tour of the Apple factory.
You've always been a fan of this, though. Like, every time I watch it with you,
it's the tour guide, like that sort of long hair and hat. Sort of, I just love the look of him. Like,
but I love the look of the whole thing. As soon as they pull in to the car park, whatever, you're like, oh, okay. You know, change of scenery is always good.
Yeah, so I'm already invested.
Yeah. Just the way he's talking, he's like, now she was infested with thousands upon thousands of rats.
Yeah. That concludes this portion of the tour. Tips.
Yeah. Like the clanging around.
Shameless.
When Homer tries to escape the tour, like...
So funny. And you know what's the funniest thing about Flanders' speech is like... So he gives the line, you know, if it's clear and yellow, you got juice there, fella.
Yeah.
If it's hanging brown, you're in Cider Town. Now. it's the now. The end.
There's two exceptions. And the fact that it's two exceptions, he's only given two, like, because...
like, it can't be a rule if there's already two exceptions. Yeah,
and, like, Homer has been, like, 20 of the suckiest minutes of my life. Like, oh, sucking down the cider, huh? He's
like... I never even cop that.
Yeah.
Or when he was talking about like he's got an annual pass or what, like a lifetime
pass. Season pass. 16th trip.
Pays for itself after the 16th visit.
The way Homer, the brain thing.
The way he falls is actually, so
like the way he falls, but also the way he nods.
Yeah.
Where like he's like blank and it's just the head of nod and then it's just
he falls like a sack of shit onto the floor.
I better get him some cider. Now when that happened I was like, see, we're in season 8.
Yeah.
That's a bit cartoony.
Seem a bit seasoned.
The slide whistle, the brain leaving. It's very funny, don't get me wrong, but like
I know what you mean. Yeah, I was like, has later Simpsons vibes.
Like a bit of a like, in my viewing when I was watching, I was like, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because season 10, I see you.
Because the rest of the story is pretty much grounded, you know?
Yeah.
But just that, I was like, that's like Looney Tunes or something. I'm not against it, per se.
No, I know what you mean, though. It seems, it was around maybe season 8 to maybe still currently, but where they really had their outlandish, not that this is even that outlandish, but they had a very outlandish sort of first five minutes that took them into wherever the story was going. You know what I mean? It was
I guess, I also think back to the trampoline. Right?
Yeah.
And like that actually has a proper Looney Tunes homage in it. Yeah. But that seems less cartoony because they're like, we're winking. This is what we're. Whereas this one is like, there's no pastiche or anything like that here. It's just no, this is what we're doing. You know?
Yeah.
Homer's brain is leaving. As opposed to like the whole Wile E. Coyote thing they do with the trampoline.
Yeah, so you mean Homer specifically, even like his?
But just even cartoon. Like, yeah, like the gag of that, like, is referencing a cartoon, and like, I think that you get away with it because they're like, oh look, like they're doing. Your brain knows what it's doing. That they're like,
yeah,
this is a piss take of Warner Brothers. Whereas with this part here, it was just like they're not taking the piss out of anything. It's just we're supposing that Homer's brain can leave his body, and it's funny, but like it's very cartoony.
It is cartoony. Yeah, I will say that. Yeah. I will agree with you on that. The Marge absolutely killing it again in this episode.
Marge,
the whole little thing between her and Lisa.
Next to spring and winter, fall is my absolute favorite season. Look at all this beautiful foliage.
And the fact that like Lisa corrects her with foliage, it's like, that's what I said. Man, foliage.
It doesn't take a nuclear
scientist to know foliage.
The better one is when they come back to it. I can't escape Lisa, my little walking library.
You know, it was only up until maybe the last two or three times I seen that episode, but all the times before that, I actually didn't cop
that she's bad on purpose.
Library. Yeah. I got the foliage one at the start. But I it still seemed funny because it just seemed like Marge was being real passive aggressive or something like just even saying it normally.
You kind of get burns.
Yeah. Like, the luxury.
I just, like, first of all, it just looks like he has built his own car and attached it to the train. You know what I mean? It's not like the train has rented him out the luxury box. It's like, no, I brought my own.
Yeah, this is the Burns trailer.
Yeah, it's monogrammed and all that. Like, hook it up to the train.
And I was always a fan of the joke where it's like, we're stopped because of a discarded couch on the track, and just everyone's just standing around like, oh, looks like some sort of couch.
he's on the telly. He's on the walkie-talkie. Like, looks like some sort of couch.
They're just standing around. They don't know what to do. Like, it's brilliant.
I love the line. It's like, honestly, Smithers, I don't know why Harvard even bothers to show up. They barely even won. And the whole thing with like, let Harvard have its football and academics. Yale will always be the first in gentleman club life. Why, every friend I ever had I made right here. And then like this character,
hey Burnsy, it's our old college roommate Dink.
He's like, ugh. With just the look of Dink and the way he says Dink.
I feel like we quote that a lot as well. If not even those words, we just quote that sort of I don't know, that tone.
That cadence.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't want to say cadence again because I'd already used the word cadence. But my next one here is just, well, we've already sort of discussed it. They do such a great job of making him look like Burnsy and himself. But I used to always think bent Pepsi bottle actually looked appealing when I was a kid. I thought, like, I'd like that.
Yeah, me too.
Whatever, like, it is.
It looks, just looks cool. But just straight away, I'm smiling. He's like, thank God, Papa needs a new pair of everything. Welcome to Scenic Greensport.
Zinger after zinger.
It's just nonstop. Like,
it's like, nonstop. And then that just becomes the joke. Like, that he's just, he can't stop almost.
But even like when he sees Burns, and by the way, I love the animation of like whatever they make Burns look so like innocent or childlike when he's sitting there clapping at Smithers. And the picture up and all. And I was like, And then, hey, Casey Jones, where's this train headed?
Springfield.
Yeah. What state?
Very good.
So then they go by, you know, Larry Burns, and the whole Homer and Marge back and forth.
I love that. Like, they get all the way home, and they're like, I think it's the best idea I ever had. We're going to pick him up. Like, that's so unacceptable. Like, at least let the kid get out of the car. Like,
And then again, it's like, Rodney, I don't know, like, if we just quote them all, but it's like, man, it was rough getting the ride out here. The only car that stopped was a hearse that thought I fell out. It was rough, I tell you.
It was rough, I tell you. Yeah. When they finally drop him off, just again, like, they drop him off to Burns' house, and they've all got a gripe with Burns.
Yeah,
I love that.
Which is good.
Every one of them. Yeah.
It was rough, I tell you. Oh, this guy's got more bread than a prison meatloaf. He's rich, I tell you. I never seen a place with a walk-in mailbox. Hey, who am I talking to?
The line that I never got before was like he's got more bread than a prison meatloaf.
Yeah, I thought it was fucking brilliant. Like,
I never seen a place with a walk-in mailbox.
Hey, who am I talking to? And I think they do a good job when, like, Larry is so nervous at the door.
Mm.
And Burns is like, you're what? Selling light bulbs? Worry about the whales? Keen on Jesus?
Out with it.
He's like, I'm your son. Oh, and I stepped on one of your peacocks. You got a paper towel?
I love as well when the way Smithers opens, he's like, yes. Like, well, he's got Larry. His raised eyebrow. Yeah, well, like, Larry. If Mr. Burns wanted to observe a stranger, he would do so from a powerful telescope.
And then you get Burnsy telling the whole life story. And I was trying to work out the math on this. It was 1941. Yeah. No, 39. My 25th Yale reunion.
So it was welcome class of 1914.
Yeah.
So he would have been, what, 21 when he left college?
Well, I'm trying to work out when this was. So it was like 96, right?
Yeah.
So 96 to 82, 22. Because he's 104.
Oh, is he 104? Is he, though?
Yes. Springfield's 104-year-old man.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
There you go.
So he was born in 1895.
So he was 22 when he left college. So he's 47 when he has Larry.
Right.
It looks pretty good for it. And I did like that gag where it was like, Mimsy Bancroft, a middle-aged woman staring back at me. Of course, I saw past those imperfections to her 21-year-old daughter.
And when they're getting down to it in the museum, like the janitor just standing beside those statues, like,
we expressed our love physically, as was the style at the time.
I love when he's giving him the tour as well of the place, and he opens the door to that theatre production.
The playroom.
The playroom. He's like, you can't just eat the orange and throw the peel away. A man is not a piece of fruit.
This was supposed to close last week. Close this show. Close it, I say.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You're all right. He just pops his head back in. Like,
he just said a few times in the episode.
Yeah. There's a bit later on where I was like, oh, really nice.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So Larry being beside Homer in work.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, relax, I don't want to work. I'm so lazy I took lessons on a player piano.
What is that? I didn't get
the
that
player
one.
Piano is like the one you press and it plays itself.
Oh.
So the old time, you're like,
right.
You know, like something out of Westworld. You know the way they had the player piano? Yeah.
Very good.
Like, lazy, you're not kidding. Why, I'm like a rug on Valium. I'm talking lazy.
I'm talking lazy.
He's like, so lazy.
Homer's basically just met his idol. And he goes so hard on Larry, where he's at the dinner table and he's like, Larry's the greatest guy in the world. If I could be stranded on an island with anybody, it'd definitely be Larry.
Yeah. And we've got way more in common than you and me, Marge.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
So then you get the gag. So again, I wasn't super keen on this one. It was like, it's not like anything interesting happened to anyone else. And it's like, Lisa broke her arm. Do you like it?
Lisa broke her arm, Bart found a diamond, Maggie won, cutest baby, something like that. Yeah, it was, you know.
We get the dinner party at the country club. Hey Skipper, good to meet you. Oh, where'd you start out? On the Merrimack? Hey, I should talk. I hope I look that good when I'm 200. I love how Burns is like, Larry, please. He's very, like Burns is trying to make it work.
Yeah.
And your woman is like, oh, Monty, this must be the son I've heard so much about. You must meet our daughter, the debutante. She came out last year.
Larry, you must meet our daughter, the debutante. She came out last spring.
Whoa, put her back in. She's not done yet.
That gave me a genuine laugh. I love it. It's just the way he goes, like, it's like, put her back in. She's not done yet. It's so obnoxious. Like.
That's funny. When they're in the, you know, they're in the line for the buffet. He's like, pull up a seat, Pop. You too, Chuckles. I mean, the food ain't great, but the portions are terrific. Hey, I'm getting relaxed. Give my regards to Mrs. Boyardee.
He's just relentless. Yeah, like, how irritating would this guy
he's
be?
He's so good. Like, you too, Chuckles.
And so Burns is trying to get him into, like, Yale. And, like, they're talking about, like, the level of bribe it would take to get him in. It's like, we're talking in an international airport.
It was like, a score of 400 would be donation of new football uniforms, 300 a new dormitory, and in Larry's case, we would need an international airport.
Yale could use an international airport, Mr. Burns.
I love how Burns gets so upset. Like,
and he's like, he flails his arms up in the air. Yeah. I'm not made of airports.
Piercy's gone drinking, sir. And like in the bar, like, everybody go nuts, I'm buying. Hey handsome, send the bill to my dad.
I love those jokes of just calling someone the opposite of what they are. Like, I'm like, you too, Chuckles. Hey handsome. Like, so
I love, like, they can't have written that. They can't have written that line. Like,
yeah, that's him.
Know, that's him, like, you know.
No wonder Weinstein kept the pen.
Yeah,
I think the biggest laugh that I got of the episode, I don't know if I'm jumping the gun when they're
at dinner.
It's at dinner. Larry, Homer, and Burns. And Burns goes, "You food bag. Do you have a son?"
Yeah. Well, I love the thing where he's like, "Boy, if it gets any livelier in here, a wake is going to break. Our funeral's going to break." Yeah. He's like, "Quiet, you." And then you get, like, he's like, make with the yuck of the yuck yuck. And then he's asking Homer.
Yeah.
And if Homer's just like, yes, sir, I do.
He goes straight into Disson Milhouse.
And he's like, oh, all the time. Ever heard of this kid Milhouse? He's a little wiener. He's like, fascinating. Good night.
What's the matter, Pop? I'm getting frostbite over here.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's with me.
This is obviously the point where he's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, and like Homer being like, I should go. And then like just like scooping up a load of food. To come back and scoop up the food. And that was a great touch.
And so the Simpsons take him in, essentially.
Well, the whole thing is, you have a lovely scene here with Larry and Homer. He's like, sheesh, Dad and I, we started out great. But now it's falling apart like a Chinese motorcycle. Yeah, and then like Homer is saying it's unfair. He's like, yeah, I'll tell you, I don't get no regard. No regard at all. No esteem either.
Very good.
I don't know if you ever watched Rodney Dangerfield on.
I didn't really.
Watch him on Carson. Like, it's just fucking
chaos.
It's not. It's just brilliant. Like, it's just him there, and he's doing it. He's sitting in the chair beside Johnny, but he's just doing a stand up set for 10 minutes.
Oh, brilliant! You know,
and he's just like adjusting his tie the whole time, and like, he's just so good. Like,
excellent.
And everybody talks about him as if he's the best stand up comedian.
Yeah,
and he got
he's
into
always
real
held
late.
Up there.
He got
what?
Into real late. I think he got into the business very late in life.
I think he had, or it was he had his own comedy club, like Dangerfields, or it was something like that.
Or maybe it was a big thing. He became a film, like he started doing movies late in life, like, and he, yeah, you know, because he was only in movies, it's from the '80s.
Yeah,
really, like Caddyshack and stuff like that. Like,
I don't think I've really seen much of him at all, to be honest. I just keep hearing him. I've never actually sat down and watched.
He's very good.
I must check out that Johnny Carson interview, because
there's just
like
there's so many of them, but it's just like it's just him rattling off.
Yeah,
and like Johnny just pissing himself laughing. I did like Homer. He's like, we can make a phony kidnapping, and he's like, nah, I know what I gotta do. I gotta clean up my act. No more joking around all the time. No more slacking off of work. And most important, no more booze. I know I can do it. And then it cuts to Burns like, your son has been kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like, the Simpsons are the kings of that. Like,
yeah.
You set him up, I'll knock him down. Like,
yeah. And they basically have every appliance in the house going down the basement. Mm. I love that. Like, there's just wires all over the place. And Marge, of course, is the last to know. Like, even the kids are downstairs in the basement.
It looks so cozy down there.
It does.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, I always thought that. Like, I'd love that.
I did, like, just before we get onto that, when it's like, Wiggum is with Burns. And he's like, when they call with the ransom demand, you tell them to leave the money under the big net in the park.
Oh, yeah.
And then now comes the net, right, Chief? Hey, I like it. I like it a lot.
I thought Wiggum was just thinking, just do it under the net. We all know where the net is.
And then, well, Marge is like, what's that hitchhiker doing here? Is every drifter we meet going to move in with us?
I love that. I forgot that Marge hadn't seen him since. Yeah. Like, what's that hitchhiker doing here? Like, from days ago.
Yeah, like, but it makes sense not to be like, oh, of course she knows it's Larry Burns or whatever.
Yeah.
And
the kids, like, zinging Marge.
This bit is so, like, nice. So sweet. Yeah. Like, because he's like, how you doing? Oh, look at your hair. What happened? You see yourself in the mirror?
Well, Bart says,
he'd love to have hair like hers. He just can't get the zoning permits.
Yeah. And Lisa goes, Buckingham Palace called. They want their hat back.
And like Marge is scowling. And then he's like, hey, kids, how about a hand for your mom? She's all right.
He's like, yay, mom.
Yeah, yeah. And that made me like smile. Like, it was like heartwarming.
She's like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's that.
Love like, it. When, I know what you're talking about. The call.
Well, no, I wasn't even going to say that. It was going to be, well, first of all, the call, yeah, is hilarious.
He's, Burns is so good in this scene. Like,
more important than money.
He's like,
who is this?
He's like, do you miss your son? He's like, yes, I'm missing one son. Return it immediately.
Yes, one son.
He's like, how much proof do you need? 5,000? 6,000? I swear, it's all I've got. Like,
yeah.
Of all the, like, $5,000, is that's all he has? Like, yeah, not like, more important than money. Who is this?
And for some reason, that, like, flummoxes him. He's like, I gotta go. But what I loved is Marge, when she was watching TV then and sees that he's been kidnapped. But, like, I can't remember what the context was, but Marge goes, can't we just go upstairs? And Homer shouts, like, no!
Like, I was like, Jesus. They're playing cards. It's like, I think I got a Pai Gow.
Oh, yeah.
And Bart's like, I hate Pai Gow. Can't we just play Quang John? And then Marge's like, can't we just go upstairs and live our lives normally? Like,
he just shouts. Like, no. Like, there's no joke. Just, no!
Yeah. And then you see the whole thing that it's Larry has been kidnapped. Kidnapped?
Yeah.
So Marge sends them up, and of course, like, it's so good, like, because I don't know where Brockman was before in the helicopter, and then he's just outside the Simpsons house, and it's like, we'll bring you the updates as soon as, like, oh, wait a minute, there they are. And it's like, appearing in broad daylight with police everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one word for that, Idiocy.
Idiocy.
Yeah, and like, of course, Homer's like, it's broad daylight and police are everywhere.
What, they go where no one will go? What was it? The abandoned name of the movie?
I know. First of all, they go to the abandoned warehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Stupid economic recovery when, you know, it's everything's back working.
It's bustling.
And then they go to the costume shop.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like,
again, classic Simpsons, like two people walk out.
I never noticed how much the organ grinder actually looks like Homer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really does. And your man's even quite nice about it. Your man comes in, he's like, hey, buy something and get out, fellas.
Yeah, like the fact that he says,
what the
fellas,
fuck he's doing?
Fellas at the end makes it like, the fact he says fellas rather than buy something and get out.
Yeah, keeps it lighter.
So then they go to see, they go to the Aztec Theater to see Olympia Dukakis and Bo Derek in Too Many Grandmas.
Try faster, Grandma. Grandma's gaining us.
And then when they walk in, he's like, they'll never look for us here. He's like, yeah, this place is emptier than a Scottish pay toilet. And then, of course, it's Mole Man, the downfall. Like,
poor Mole Man. Like,
they're in such a jerk. Like,
he's like, you know, like, call the cops, like, throws popcorn at his face, turns back around.
Like,
I love that next scene. The police car is just pulling up. Like, of course, he called the cops.
So you get the whole thing of they're watching the live footage and Homer trying to burst out and getting like blown.
I remember
bits.
Thinking when I first watched it, like, what?
Yeah. Mad.
Homer gets riddled with bullets. Like, a bitter end for Homer Simpson is just one outcome possible by our computer simulation.
Good rug pull. I liked it.
Yeah, very good.
I did like when they were moving in for the kill. And I just like the whole way, like the noise and the cinema had gone quiet and stuff. It was very like
cinematic.
Yeah, I was like, this would be a good thing in a movie.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it was. It was a good. Like, yeah,
I'll say in like the popcorn's like still warm. They can't be far, and then they're like, you see them going up onto the roof,
And the way it sort of goes where like Wiggum's like, okay, Simpson, let him go. And straight away, Burns is like, the negotiations have failed. Shoot him.
And then Larry steps in front. I know Burns. I love Burns. Like, I should have known you were the one stupid enough to kidnap you. Now get down here so I can spank you in front of this gawking rabble.
And then, I mean, I don't really remember Homer's speech.
Basically, he's like, oh, we faked the kidnapping, but is that such a crime? I'm a father myself, sir. And sometimes
I thought that was interesting, even him saying that.
Yeah.
I'm a father myself, sir.
His kids can be obnoxious or boring or stinky.
Yeah.
But they can always count on their father's unconditional love.
I remember this was around the time that I remember it being a big story when I was a kid that Homer won Father of the Year in some list, like Time magazine or something like that. Because he was always like the antithesis of that. But I was like, actually. And then you look at all his moments. I always looked at him in a bit of a different light after that. Of like moments like this where he's actually,
he's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Endearing Homer has been the best Homer. Considering when we started at season 4, he was such a fucking asshole. Like,
Jesus. Yeah. Complete difference.
I did like when Larry comes in and is like, well, how about it, Pop? I know it's tough, but can you love me for who I am? And the big hug. It's like, there, sonny boy. I suppose I have, but no, I can't do it. It's just not me.
It's mad how they can make him abandoning his son seem nice and light and breezy. Yeah. You know, like, you're still left going, oh, fair enough.
Well, this like two sentences here kind of puts everything in perspective where he's like, oh, that's okay. I got a wife and kids. Oh, that reminds me. They're probably wondering where I went. I told them I was going for coffee. That was a week ago. Like, he's taken a job in another state. Like, you know?
Hasn't even thought about them once for a week.
Yeah. And then I love the line where he's like, you know, there's another kidney out there. But he's like, you got it, Pop. Just let me run a few pints through it first. And like, pats the side of him. Hey, everybody, sudden, like, let's party. Since we're all here.
Now that everybody's here,
let's party. And like,
tune.
Yes, sir. I love that. Like, Lisa, like, who's playing that music? It's like, where's all that liquor coming from?
Yeah. Someone just puts the beads around his neck. Like,
ooh, it's a party, Marge.
I actually quite like that silly ending, to be honest.
Yeah, me
normally,
too.
I'm not a fan when they just kind of quickly wrap up with a quirky ending, but I quite like this one.
I liked it, but it is, how would I say it? It's a bit of a dangerous precedent to set. I like this one, but like, even if you look at like Family Guy,
they do it too much.
Yeah, they were doing it even like in season two.
Yeah,
you know. And
I have to say, Family Guy, and I must also say in particular South Park, as much as I love it, I don't think South Park are very good at ending episodes. You know what I mean? They've always got like a weird kind of, it leaves you on a bit of a, oh, okay. Like,
I think that's what they're going for. That's their style. Like, I think
it's, I don't know. There's like, a few where, yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm not, because I'm
even
not as much
even
of a
the
fan.
Whole music, like, you're like, oh, right, yeah,
yeah. I don't know.
It's always kind of abrupt.
Yes, it is abrupt. And I feel like if The Simpsons had done this ending on any other episode, it wouldn't have worked. It's because this was a kind of one-off episode.
It seems like I say, it doesn't. It seems like The Simpsons are the guest stars almost in this episode.
Yeah,
you know,
like, basically, yeah. Well, look, should we get into our ratings, Terry? More important,
please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Let me ask you something, pal. What did you think of it?
It's a funny one because how would I say it? Like, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Very funny. But if you take Rodney Dangerfield out of it and replace him with anybody else, the whole thing falls apart.
Yes.
So, while I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to let myself enjoy it and, like, not over dissect it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's held together with scotch tape, but While it's holding, it's very good. That's the way I'll put it. Like, you know, you're about two things away from the whole thing falling apart, but there's just so much to laugh at in it. Like, Rodney Dangerfield is just like, he's my MVP, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Like, him, it wouldn't work if it wasn't anybody else.
I don't think that they would have made it though,
yes,
like
that's,
that as well.
That's the way. Like, I guess it's kind of like a perfect storm. You know,
they balanced out. There wasn't a lot going on this side, because on this side there's too much going on. You know what I mean?
Like, he's so doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And Burns as well. You know,
Burns, he was good too.
Very
yeah.
good. Like, there's a lot of good, because he's such the straight man to Rodney.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so.
And you don't normally see that a lot, actually.
No, you don't. You know? Like,
what's your rating, if I can push you for it?
I'm going to give it a 9.
Ooh.
Just because I was just smiling throughout the whole thing and laughing quite a lot. And the story is coherent.
Yeah.
Albeit a bit weird. Off, just the whole aura of the
feel
episode.
Like
it,
yeah.
Yeah,
it doesn't
weird.
Feel like a Simpsons. Because there's not a huge amount of Simpsons in it. This is probably the first one that's featured the Simpsons the least, I'd say.
Yeah, I
since
mean,
we've even started reviewing
like
it.
We talked about it last week, where it was like, you're brushing up to giving Moe his own episode.
Yeah.
You've essentially given Larry the episode here. You've given Rodney the episode.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's fine, because I think that's way more acceptable than you giving Chief Wiggum the episode. I don't know why, for me, in my head. I just have it because it seems
no,
like...
I know what you mean.
It's more special when it's a special guest star, you know. Like,
and they did quite a good job, I have to say, of writing around him.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure he added a lot of those zingers, but just to keep a somewhat coherent story.
It's a sweet enough story as well.
Yeah. Well, I'd be inclined to agree with you. Although I have to say, I think I liked it a little bit more than that. Even
Ooh.
I found, like, when I was first coming up to it, I was like, I was like, because again, I know who Rodney Dangerfield is. Obviously, I've seen the episode before, but I'm like, I didn't pull me in as, oh, the Rodney Dangerfield episode. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, this one. But I have to say, I loved it. I was laughing
so funny.
Loads of it. It was very funny. And even, like, it wasn't just the Rodney Dangerfield stuff. Homer was quite funny in it too. Like, you know, you don't like a call the cops and, you know, shit like that.
No.
But yeah, I would give it, if you're asking for a rating, Terry,
I am.
A 9.5.
Whoa,
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm just going to give it up when I enjoy it. So 9.5. Should we get our plugs in?
Sure. Why don't you tell the good folks where they can find us online?
What's the score of that City match?
2-1 to Man City.
Fucking pricks.
Yeah, I know. Scum.
And they're away. Great. Happy for them.
So they're going to win the whole thing, I'd say.
That's that now.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can find us on Twitter, on Instagram, at Put It In H Podcast. You can find a link to everything that we do on our LinkedIn, Linktree, or LinkedIn, on our Instagram.
Excuse me?
We are not on LinkedIn.
Are you trying? What are you up to?
For business inquiries, contact.
Deposit Terry, money in this account.
Care of the Pentagon.
Yeah.
You can find links to everything we do on our Instagram. So you can find this our latest episodes. You can find our other podcast, What's So Great About Marvel. You can find our merchandise. You can find our Bill Oakley interview. And you can find our Patreon.
Yes, the Patreon.
Take it away, Terry.
Take it away. The Patreon is where all the good stuff is happening, really. For the low, low fee of $5 reduce a month or €450. We don't know what it is in sterling. You get...
Frankly, we don't want to know.
You get 4 Bono episodes a month. So you get 2 of our sister podcasts, What's So Great About. Like Andy said, we've a few on the free feed, but geez, we got so much more here. So we've done mini-series on Marvel, and now Andy is picking some 90s action gems for me. Our latest episode, by the time you're listening to this, will have been Bad Boys.
We did a switch at the final hour.
What you gonna do?
Because Disney Plus had removed Hard Target.
So I hope nobody out there had watched Hard Target to go with it. We probably should have put something up on the social media about
probably
that. Yeah, but whatever.
Yeah,
the other 2 episodes a month can range in a wide, you know.
I think, if I may be so bold, that those other 2 episodes that we do a month, they're my 2 favorites, and I love doing them all, folks, don't get me wrong, but that's completely unshackled. That's been let off the leash. We've got stuff on like what our perfect day looks like, our dream festival. We pitch each other movie ideas. We pitch each other music and songs that we like and try and convert the other. We've got loads of emo ones, metal ones, Terry's Teenage Tunes we just did last week.
Got a lot of fun. Feedback on that. There are a lot of fun. They are.
Yeah, so it's just a good time.
Yeah, it's just a good time.
And some free stuff occasionally.
Yeah, if you sign up. Now, if you can't afford the Patreon,
€4.50 a month. Go on.
If you can't afford it, it's fine. But you can help me in another way. Now, Andy, did you know in this episode that Larry Burns spelled Yale with a 6?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, folks. All I need is 5 of those little stars in a review. That's
how
right.
Does he do it?
Oh, I was up all night writing copy. No.
Just crumpling up bits of paper. Trying to, Terry, go to bed.
You go to bed.
I'm psych out there.
I'm sorry, baby.
Baby, the baby starts crying. Yeah. Oh, now the baby's away.
Are you happy, Faye? give us a 5-star review, or you know, on the Apple Podcast or whatever you get your podcast of choice.
Really, I tell you what I appreciate even. Sorry, you know what? I'll let you finish.
Really helps grow the podcast. You ignorant prick.
You know what? I do that all the time, and I'm aware of it. I'm aware of it so much at home now, and I'm like, as soon as someone starts talking and I have anything remotely to say about it, I'm just, they're 2 words in, like, yes, I also have something to say about that. And like, I have to catch myself every time. It must be infuriating. Anyway, I forgot what my point was going to be. So.
He said, you know what,
no, I lost it. We'll leave it there.
Okay, well, yeah.
Okay,
well, look, and if you made it this far, you're doing a great help to us anyway by listening to the podcast. Yes. You know, maybe tell a friend about it as well. That's another way you can help us.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
What I'd appreciate even more than 5 stars is a bit of a mention on social media. So Twitter or Instagram, share a story, give us a shout out, anything like that. We love to hear some
feedback.
You
do the work for us, please.
Terry, don't tell them that. He's just joking around. But, on that note, Terry, I'm out of here.
Goodbye.